Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Welcome to church. Happy Palm Sunday once again. I hope you know where the story of Palm Sunday is. Some years back, we came to church on a Palm Sunday, and we did not mention that it was Palm Sunday. And when some children got home and their parents asked them, "What were you taught in church?" and they did not say anything about Palm Sunday, they almost got grounded. Hallelujah. So since that time, I made it a point of duty to remind you, when is Palm Sunday? Yeah, because we can be that traditional. Hallelujah. But also it's very important, because if you will do Palm Sunday, if you will do Easter, then you cannot forget Palm Sunday. Hallelujah. They call it Palm because of the story in Matthew 21. Hallelujah. They call it Palm Sunday. And then even in that story, I see that some people were a bit malicious. Some put their clothes and some put the branches. We keep forgetting that animals, they have flesh. So when you think that they can walk on anything, sometimes they also have thorns in their feet. I've seen where someone was trying to fix the foot of a horse. He had overgrown nails, and then he couldn't walk. So animals also deserve some care. So some people threw their clothes, some people threw branches of trees on the floor. But let me read to you some Matthew chapter 21. And I read from verse 1. It says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mountain of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them.' All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is come, is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them." Hallelujah. "And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" Hallelujah. When I used to go to Sunday school, this is where we sing, "Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest, the angels are singing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, the angels are singing. Hosanna in the highest." And then verse 10 says, "And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 2 says, "Go and saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them.'" And verse 4 says, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt and the foal of a donkey.'" Hallelujah. Amen. It says, "So that the things that were written might be fulfilled." In Zechariah chapter 9,
"You are the only God, there is none like you."
Zechariah 9, it says, and verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. Lowly and riding on a donkey. A colt, the foal of a donkey. Hallelujah. Amen. All these events that surrounds the birth and the death of Christ, they are so important and they point us to us, to the fact that God keeps to his word and to everything that he says. Hallelujah. You know, now everybody is fond of saying that the internet does not forget. Abi, you've heard it, that they say the internet does not forget. Okay, so the reason why they say the internet does not forget is that everything you post on social media, there's a record of it somewhere. So sometime when people were trying to converse for votes and saying that one government was not good, people will take you back to year 2014 and say, if I cannot give you power in 6 months, any government that cannot give you power in 3 months is a useless government, blah, blah, blah. And then 10 years down the line, the same person is in government, he cannot give you power. They go and play that 2014 voice of his that said, any government that cannot give you power is useless. So at the point where he's also not able to write it, what does it mean? It's also useless. Okay? So people say the internet does not forget. And that's why we have to be careful what we put on our social media and use. Because, see, if you have never thought of it before, when you delete anything on your phone, where does it go? Just think of it too. This is your phone that you think you can be doing anything anyhow. Eh? When you delete anything, where does it go? You think it just disappears? No, it doesn't just disappear. Somebody has a record of it. Don't kid yourself. So when you delete anything on your PC, on your computer, maybe it's my computer, you delete, bro, I write everything and then you delete. Eh? Bring your computer to me and I'll show you what you deleted. That you deleted 3 years ago and then I'll show you. Because these devices, they don't forget. Okay, the social media does not forget. This is your WhatsApp that you think I'll be doing anything anyhow. The database belongs to some people. Abi? So when you delete, you only delete from your own device and from your own perspective. If they want to bring it out, they will bring it out. The one of the pieces is the one that is interesting. So just in case you don't know now. So, fraud was committed in an office. And they asked that everybody that was involved in fraud, they should bring their pieces. And everybody brought their pieces gladly. And they looked at the four suspects and they checked. And then they called forensic engineers and said, please look at everything on this piece. And everything, even the one they deleted 2-3 years ago, it came out. And so they could pick out the people that did the fraud. So your PC is not your PCO. I'm just telling you so that you be careful. So because we come to church to learn, so you be careful. Hallelujah. And there's nothing to be careful about if you are doing the right things. Amen. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 3. That's what I wanted to talk about this morning. Okay, I wanted to talk about when John the Baptist was talking to the people that came to be baptized. That's where we're going this morning. But this is important. So, now, the Bible says here that all this, so Christ telling them to go and release the donkey and the colt, bring them to me, was written so that it would be fulfilled what was written. And I've gone to Zechariah 9:9 to show you what was written. Okay? Anything that the Lord says, the Lord does not forget. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he's the one that said it. And he does not say what he does not mean. Amen. So if God is not going to do anything, then he's not going to say anything about it. Hallelujah. So once he says it, be sure that he has something in store. In Isaiah 55, Isaiah 55. I want to take it from verse 9. So everybody that is apart from the fact that your PC and all that, when you go to the embassy these days, they ask for your social media handle. Why? They want to see the kind of person you are. Those of you that are Lutheran oriented, you know, we believe everything is about struggle. Then you go and say, everything, kill them, Jesus. Be careful with your words. You can struggle, you can do struggle without being violent. And so they say, now they will tell you that, right, give us your social media and do Instagram, Facebook. Just try and go and apply. Even if you don't mean to go, just go and check. They will tell you your Instagram and Facebook. Then they go to your page. That's all they need to know. They just go to your page. I know what, you know, mind you, you submit your form before they see you. Abi, you submit your form before they see you. So they would have done a profiling. Now they'll tell you to come on the 10th of, maybe on the 4th of April. It's not because they don't have anything they're doing, no. Or because there are so many people. It's because so that before you come, they will have studied your profile. So when you come, they just ask you one question. What's your name? You tell them your name. What do? You tell them. Are you an activist? No, I'm not an activist. They just say, on this day, you said, what will you say? And they don't like people that, see, you rather tell them you're an activist, okay, than tell them you're not and they find out that you are. They don't like people that are not straightforward. There's nothing wrong with being an activist, but be sure that you are on a good course. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah 55. I read from verse 9. It says, For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I read verse 9 and 10 to give context to verse 11. And verse 11 says, so shall my word be. So what does he say? Why is he saying so? He's comparing his word to the fact that water pours on the earth and then it buds and brings forth. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Amen. And Matthew was very deliberate in reminding us that the things that he said was so that the things that were said by the prophet in Zechariah will come to pass. And it gives a lot of comfort for you and I, because the things that were written, they were written for our learning, so that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scripture, will have hope. Amen. If God has said it, he will do it. Amen. Whether you are black, you are white, you are Caucasoid, you are Asian, whatever God says about you, whatever you can pick about his word in his word in the Bible, is the things that he will do. And he says it will not return to him void until he has accomplished all that he has sent it forth to accomplish. Amen. God's word accomplishing anything in our life also depends a lot on our strict adherence to his instructions. So the first thing he told them here in Matthew was that you should go into the village, opposite village. If they had gone to another village, they wouldn't have seen this colt and this donkey. Right? He said, go to the village opposite. And when you get there, you will see. And he told them, if anybody asks you, tell them the Lord has need for them. Amen. And it takes me back to what we were looking at on Thursday in the book of Mark. And we talked about Mark chapter 4. And we talked about the fact that he told his disciples in verse 35, he said, come, let us go to the other side. And I said, what were they going to do on the other side? All he said is, come, let us go to the other side. Amen. And everybody got into the boat. The one that couldn't enter his boat, they had other little boats. If you read Mark chapter 4, from 35 to the end, they had little boats around them, and then they went to the other side. But he alone was the one that knew what he was going to do on the other side. And then when we searched and said, okay, what exactly were they supposed to go and do on the other side? Christ had a mission. And his mission was not revealed until he got to the other side. So when he got to the other side, the first thing that came to them was a man that was possessed. If you read Mark chapter 5, it was a man that was possessed. He had evil spirit, and he said the evil spirit was tormenting him. And then Christ delivered him of the demons that possessed him. And then the people came and said, why did you do this? And then he got on his boat and went back to where he came from. All he went to do on the other side was to set that young man free. Amen. Hallelujah. And when he was about leaving the other side, going back into the boat, he would be like, he would think that it's because the people said he should go. No, it wasn't, because he had done his mission. So when the man, I'm running for time, that's why I'm not trying to open the Bible. But read Mark chapter 4, 35 to the end. Then read Mark chapter 5. Then you see this. And then when he was going into the boat, the young man that was delivered, okay, wanted to go with him. And Christ said, no. Go back and proclaim what has been done for you in the city of Decapolis. Hallelujah. He knows the end from the beginning. So when he gives you an instruction at the beginning, don't worry about the end, because he knows where he's taking you to. All he wants you to do is just comply. So if the disciples in Mark 21, if the disciples had not gone to the village opposite, they wouldn't have seen the colt, they wouldn't have seen the donkey, and they wouldn't have been bold enough, okay, to release it. So it's just like me telling Mr. Chajira, go to that compound there, any car you see, enter, drive it and bring it. I say, if anybody asks you, tell them, say, MY, say, I should bring it. Who is MY? Who is the Lord? That's what Christ told the disciples to do. He said, go and release it. And if anybody asks you, tell them the Lord has need of it. Two things. The Lord will go ahead of you. I thought you would say amen. The Lord will go ahead of you. When he gives you an instruction, he prepares the recipients of those instructions way before you get there. Because it's unnatural that somebody's called and donkey will be there, and then you go lose it. And then some people meet you taking it away, and he says, the Lord has need of it. Except the Lord had appeared to them. And I told them that, look, two people are going to come, or one person is going to come, release that donkey to them. And you know that this is what happens to us every time we come and give testimony. I say, before I got there, this had happened. Because God will have ministered on people's minds, spirits. I've told you before the story when many years back, about some 25 years back in Ibadan. And I managed to, I was saving. And I bought that Bible. I think it was like 10 naira or so, or 5 naira. And I bought that Bible, the Living Translation of the Bible, because I like the Living Translation of the Bible. And I bought it. And I went to church, fellowship in the evening. I was forming, I have a new Bible. And when I got to church, I just says, see that Bible? It's for that guy. So take that Bible and go and give him. That's what happened to me that day. And I looked up, I looked down. I said, no problem. So after service, I just went and I gave the person the Bible. I said, God said, this is your Bible. At that point, the person never told me that story. But you know the person has come to tell the story here. Have you heard the story before? Where Pastor BJ came and said that God was going to give him a new Bible. And God had told him that there was going to be a new Bible. And exactly the New Living Translation of the Bible. Two different people at two different instances. At the time God was telling him that he will get a new Bible, me had been saving before to buy Bible. So, see, God has set things in motion. The months that I was saving was not, when I started saving, was not when God told him that he would get a new Bible. And when the day, I think it was a day before I brought the Bible to church, that God told him he would get a new Bible. So two different people. And when I gave him the Bible, he didn't say, God told me. He just said, thank you. And he left. It was years after that he told the story. So I'm saying that God goes ahead of you. So if he's going to, if he's giving you an instruction, be sure that the person that will carry out that instruction, that you think that he looks so vague, God is still taking care of that end. He knows the end from the beginning. Don't doubt him. Amen. He says, my word will not return to me void. Hallelujah. So when I gave back out the Bible, after that, I've received several Bibles. Amen. Several. This one I'm using. It was given to me about 2 years ago. Somebody just came home. I looked at the Bible I was reading. He said, do you like that Bible? I said, yes. He said, take it. I didn't ask for it. And I've received Bibles after that. There's one in my room that I've not even opened. Just give it to me. I said, wow, give it. So, I mean, when you think you are losing something, you are not losing it. You are obeying. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So Luke chapter 3. So God is very intentional and deliberate. If you could go to the other side to deliver the man with demons and set a city free, how much more you and I that are filled with the Holy Spirit? He will do for you and I. Acts chapter 10, please. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. I don't want to open there. Please just open for me. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. In verse 38, please. Okay, so this talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen. Verse 35 says that he shows no partiality. Okay? He will give deliverance to as many as we believe in him. Amen. God is not partial when it comes to delivering people. I said it on Thursday. When it comes to delivering people, he's not partial. If he thinks you are Asian, and you are, if you think you are shared and he can't deliver you, that's a lie, because he will do it. He says, verse 35, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. In every nation. So it's not partial about this nation and that nation and that nation. As long as you fear him and you work righteousness, he will deliver. But it's partial about you and I. Amen. Hallelujah. When it comes to the opposing side. Because there cannot be competition between God's people and people that are not on his side, and then he's not partial to his own. So this partial thing is relative, and it applies to the fact that as long as you walk righteousness and you fear God, he will deliver you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 3. From verse 7. And this is very important. And I think all of us should just look at it and read it very well. Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, broods of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say of yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in fire. Amen. So this was the voice of one that was crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, blah, blah, blah. And then people came to him and he looked at them. They were people that were doing iniquity. And then they came to him to be baptized. Okay? And then he said, you brood of vipers. you are not going to do this. I think that because you are of Abraham, then you can live your life anyhow. Amen. Hallelujah. See, in 1 Samuel chapter 5, 1 Samuel chapter 5, so let's just keep our hand here. Let me mark this thing. 1 Samuel chapter 5. I want to read the story of Dagon. I hope I'm right. Is it 1 Samuel? Eh? Yes, yes. Thank you. So, in 1 Samuel chapter 5, they took the ark of God. Okay, let me read from verse 1. It said, then the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. So Dagon is a god that they have carved with wood and they do worship. And then they took the ark of God from Ebenezer to Ashdod, and then they had the audacity to put the ark of God in the same room as their god. Amen. Hallelujah. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon falling on his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set it in his place again. So the first thing was that in the morning, the first time he came, the statue, they call it, or the carving, had fallen down, face flat on his face. He did not give them common sense that there's trouble. And then they put it up again. Maybe it's the wind. Maybe the wind that blew. Or maybe where they were putting the ark, somebody hit it. And then, where would that stop? Verse 4. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon falling on his face to the ground before the ark. The head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were broken off the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon, nor any who came into Dagon's house, tread on the threshold of Ashdod to this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with tumors. Amen. So the second morning when they came, God was making a statement. Okay, and this time around, there was nothing. The head, the arm, everything has scattered. And then just the strong that was left. So that was what was left again. I'm saying that for us, our life is different. The ark of God signified the presence of God. Hallelujah. And the presence of God in the midst of iniquity, God does not behold iniquity. Hallelujah. He will rather remove that, all that iniquity, and he will be or not be in that situation at all. And that was why when Christ was on the cross and he was carrying the sin of you and I on the cross, he cried out, my Father, why have thou forsaken him? Because at that point, God turned his... Something that we cannot withstand when we are in the presence of what is not of God. Amen. The presence of God was enough to knock off Dagon and break Dagon. And then it was troubling. And then everybody decided that they kept moving that ark from one city to another. And he kept showing them that, look, what this is not where I ought to be. Amen. Now, when John was talking to them in the book of Luke, he was talking to the people that came to be baptized. And I'm talking to us today. He says from verse 7 that then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. So I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? Amen. Also give them to them, look, once you are baptized, you have to live that life that you are living before. The life of vices, okay? The life of koni-koni, all those things. You have to live it. Don't come here and pretend and say, you belong to Abraham. Hallelujah. God is dealing with all of us one-on-one. Amen. Hallelujah. Even when you tell that you belong to Jesus, your composure and your behavior must be consistent with that of Christ. I think someone mentioned the other day that one man, I think it's in the Gandhi or so, that said he likes your Jesus, but he does not like you people that say that you are the followers of Jesus. Why? Because he could see that the life of Jesus and the life of these people, there was no consistency. So if you will claim adherence to God, then let your life be consistent with expectation of God. You know, everybody, when you say, and you see, it's not only limited. So sometimes when you talk about pastors, or when you mention that somebody, are you sure he's a pastor? It's because things have happened with people that carry that title, okay? And they have not been consistent with the word of God. But it's not limited to pastors. This is John the Baptist that was baptizing and saying to them, look, you have to bear fruit, okay? Otherwise, you'll be cut off. And then what did he say? He said, so what then shall we do? Please keep this thing on. Keep it on. So what verse are we in? So what shall we then do? And then he says, verse 11, he answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, this is very important. He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. Then the tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. And then likewise, in verse 14, likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Amen. Hallelujah. When I read the tax collector and the one for the soldiers, I just laughed. That's why we say the word of God is applicable, whether it was written 5,000 years or 1 million years ago, you will still come and find it. That means that since the time of John the Baptist, the tax collectors have been collecting bribe, Abby. They've been collecting more than is appointed to them to collect. Just like it's now, it is now. Number two, the soldiers. It says, likewise, soldiers asked him, saying, what shall we do? They came to be baptized. They really wanted to be identified with the fact that they were baptized. But he's saying that you have to leave your old ways. And says, look, so he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Amen. So probably in those days, they also probably had roadblocks. Yes. It's as simple as that. He said, because if they were content with their wages, he wouldn't be telling them what they should do. It's part of what they should do. If they were not intimidating people, he wouldn't be telling them. And if they were not accusing people falsely, he wouldn't be saying it. Amen. Hallelujah. When I was growing up, I heard the story of one of Nigeria's richest. And then his son had a problem with the Air Force. And then he went there as the rich one, you know. And he was a friend of the military. And as the rich man, he went there. And blah, blah. No. They dealt with his son. It wasn't about anything. Do not intimidate anyone or accuse people. I mean, we've seen those stories. And they still happen to now. But he's saying that if you are being baptized, okay, being immersed in water and identifying with Christ, these things should not be found with you. And that's what I've come this morning to tell us. We look around us and we so much cry about the decay. But in our own circle, what are we doing that is not different? Amen. So if you look at your circle, like me as a person, when somebody comes to me and asks me whether I'm a soldier, I'm a tax collector, please go to verse 11. So he answered the first set of people that he answered. If you say you are not a task, some people say, maybe that one is talking to task collector, it's not me. And the other one is to soldiers. He's saying you show compassion. He answered to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. Amen. So it's not now that there have not been food for everybody, but some people have in excess. Hallelujah. Amen. Some people have kept food till the end of the year. You know, in your different storerooms, if you have food at the end of the year, in your different storerooms, if you don't preserve the food very well, when it gets to the time where you want to take it, you find out that if it's flour, you will have kicked. If it's rice, you will have been. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the fact that you think you have food in the store does not guarantee that when it's time to use it, you will have it. But I'm saying that in this time that we are in, it's the time that as children of God, that have witness of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we need to extend our hand of fellowship to the man next door and to the people that come our way. Amen. What is it that will separate you? I mean, the life that we have is not because we are just going to heaven. It's to make a difference where we are. Amen. See, and I said on Thursday that the things that we experience today, they are not because we prayed today. They are the things that we have laid foundation for in days before today. So that the things that we will experience tomorrow are things that we are laying foundation for today. Amen. Oftentimes, we look and say, what I have is not enough. But some people don't have half of what you have. Hallelujah. Some people don't have half of what you have. And we cannot withhold more than is necessary. You get what I'm saying? You cannot withhold more than is necessary. You have to live a life that is full of compassion, looking at people around you and be deliberate, be intentional about whom to help out of any situation. Christ said, let us go to the other side. He was going to deliver the man with demons and he was going to set that city free. Hallelujah. That's why the storm and the wind and the storm came, because they knew that he was going there to liberate people and didn't want that to happen. And then the wind and the storm came. But the wind and the storm, they cannot withstand Christ. Hallelujah. The wind and the storm needed the help of those that were with him, that were not full of faith, because they could have turned the boat back and all that. But thankfully, they were fearful and they were wise enough to call out to him. Amen. Hallelujah. The things that you're experiencing today are foundations that you laid back years and months and days before today. When I was growing up, I mapped out everything I would do at the master's level. So when I got to master's level, I found out I was stuck. And then I sat down. I'm like, so what's happening? Why is this like stagnancy? And then God played back my memory. I said, this is how far you have planned. And I said, no Allah. So I started again. I started from where I was. And then I started to plan. Don't ask me which one I plan to. Yeah, I plan to. But I just kept planning. I said, nothing. I'm not going to step into the next phase without being ready. Amen. He said, John told him, don't say because you have Abraham. It's not a ticket for you. If you are not doing the things that God expects you to do, then he will raise those stones that will be children to him. And who are the children of God? Those that will accept Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Those that will confess that he's Lord. And you don't confess that he's Lord by mouth. You confess that he's Lord by your deeds. Hallelujah. That's why people don't take titles any serious anymore. Because a title does not connote that you are living the life of that title. Amen. Abby? Am I right? John, we'll soon get up. I see that we are tired. John chapter 15. And I read from verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, And my father is the vine dresser. So the first one we heard was from John. So, and sometimes I read this thing. So because some people tell you that, that's John now. He was just eating wild honey. He's just a radical. So John said, bear fruit. He did not say so. In John chapter 15, it says, I'm the true vine, and my father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Amen. He says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Let us stop there. Verse 6. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them. You know that when you begin to drift from Christ, it takes a process. He says, abide in me and I in you. Now, when you begin to drift, it will be difficult for you to understand that you are drifting, because certain things will still be working. So he says that that branch will be withered. When it's withering, it's not an instantaneous thing. Hallelujah. So you don't get deceived. He says, if you abide in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Now, if you are not abiding in him, it will look to you as though you are living, but then technically you are withering, until it suddenly comes upon you and be like, you have been cut off entirely. The words of John the Baptist, it was talking to them and said, you vipers, take heed and bear fruit. And the words, because these words were written in letter of Christ, they are not different. He's saying, let your walk with him be consistent. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't bear fruit outside of Christ. Oftentimes, what people call fruit is not fruit when they're outside of Christ. And then say, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. And then when you begin to dig deeper, you find out that that life is void. And it just takes a while before you see that it's totally withered. It's just like when you cut off a branch today. If you look at that branch today, it looks fine. Tomorrow you look at it, it looks fine. Next tomorrow when you look at it, if you look at the tip, you see that some of it is drying up. But it takes a lot of scrutiny for to see that it's drying up. Abi, that one branch is even too much wala. When you buy FO and away do vegetable, when you buy in market today, it's very fresh. The leaf is like this. Tomorrow, if you don't do anything, the leaf will be like this. Next tomorrow, you're like, by tomorrow, you just drop. I mean, the 3 days that you just drop, it will just drop because it's withering. So the one, day two, you still think, oh, tomorrow, I'll come and deal with it. By day three, when you get there, some of the green part that was looking lush will be smothered. You can't use it anymore. That's what I'm saying. That's what the book is saying. If you cut off yourself, it won't be an instantaneous thing like that for you to take note of. But once you are not walking in Christ, be sure that withering has started. Hallelujah. And when the things begin to happen, it will be like an avalanche. But they are taking a while. And that's why he's saying that I am, he says there categorically, I am the vine, you are the branches. The branch cannot survive without the vine. Let's not kid ourselves. The life that we live is no longer ours. It is embedded in him. Hallelujah. And so if you know that this morning, what I'm saying, live a life of compassion. The next person to you, I'm not saying in church like that, but I mean, anywhere you are, there's somebody somewhere that your two clothes, one of them can be of use for. Yesterday we had charity fair in Okwagbon. Sometimes we go to charity fair. All those things in charity fair, they were things that all of us brought to. And if you look at when you brought those things and now, you have acquired more. And some of the things you brought between when you brought those things and now, some of them you're not using again. Abi? Some of them have 10 pairs of shoes. I don't know how many pairs I have. But some of them have 10 pairs. And if you tell them, say, no, I cannot give her this one. This one is for Sunday. Yeah, this one is for Monday. This one is when I'm going to... And yet someone is there that just needs a pair of slippers. If you look at Jesus going to the other side, he was demonstrating to his disciples, and he was demonstrating to us that compassion has no boundary. Hallelujah. He could sense in the spirit that this is happening, or this has happened, and then he had to go there. Typically, he could have just spoken. But then for us today, it wouldn't have been anything to refer to. He told them, let us go to the other side. And when he got to the other side, he was greeted by the man that was filled with demons. And he delivered him. And the Bible says there that by the time people were coming to see the man that was delivered demons, the guy had new clothes. Abi? Let me read it. Mark chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gennesaret, Gadarenes, or whatever. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. So this guy was just tameless. Okay? And then he was the first person that came out to meet Jesus. And always, night and day, he was in mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also he begged him earnestly that he should not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and there were about 2,000. And they drank violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Hallelujah. Amen. The one that was demonized, he had been delivered. And by the time they came to Jesus, they saw that he had been clothed. Hallelujah. Amen. And he was in his right mind. So Jesus took care of him spiritually and physically. Meaning that when he said, let us go to the other side, he had that supply to take care of him when he gets there. Because he had not even entered into the city. It was just as he got to the other side, the guy came out of the mountains. Hallelujah. That's compassion. And so it's not enough to deliver people and not take care of their physical needs. Very important. Hallelujah. He says, if you have food, give it to the next person that does not have. And it is recorded. He says in that John 15 that we are reading, that he will bear the branches that bear fruit. He prunes so that he may do what? He may bear more fruit. So that he may bear more fruit. Amen. Let's rise up. Let's just talk to God this morning. That indeed, we identify that Christ is the vine and we are branches. I don't know what you want to do, but for me, I want to bear more fruit. Hallelujah. So you talk to him that indeed in this space that you are, that you recognize the fact that you're a branch that bears fruit and you're able to affect and infect people around you. Show compassion and take care of the needs of others so that you may bear more fruit. He says, he will abide in me and I in him. So when you're bearing fruit, it's because you are in consonance and resonance with Christ. That's where you're bearing fruit. Just thank him this morning that indeed it will not be a different story. It will be that as he prunes, we bear more fruits. We are not going to wither because we will stay in Christ, our rock. Thank you, Lord, because indeed, I thank him because his word, like we read in Isaiah 54, they do not return to him void until they have accomplished all that they are set forth to accomplish. For every time he does prune us, we will see that there is more than enough for us. You see that we are bearing more fruit and more fruit as the days progresses, even as we respond to the will of God in our lives. Thank him because indeed his word is alive and it works for us. Father, we thank you because your word will grow as it has been received with thanksgiving, and indeed it will bear fruit and it will germinate. Thank you because testimonies abound indeed in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.